The message today is specifically designed to be an encouragement and inspiration to the mothers who are among us. But like all messages here, there is a spiritual message for every single person here. And so here's my challenge to you is listen for that message for you today, because there's a message for everyone. Now, we've done something a little bit different that we've never done on Mother's Day before. I've actually asked three mothers to help me teach the message today. And they, by the way, do a much better job than I would have done by myself. Let me introduce them to you. First of all, it's Rebecca Bradford. You see here her husband, Greg, who's happy about something, probably about being married to Rebecca, and their sons, Jake and Judd, and then their new little daughter, Abby. And then the second mom who's going to be helping us is Mary DeMuth. And this is a picture of her husband, Patrick, and their children, Sophia and Aiden and Julia. You can clap for them if you know them. And then the third mom that I've asked to help me today is my mom. And here she is with her handsome family. That's my older brother there on the right, Michael. And my younger brother, Gary Lee, there to my left. And then the troubled middle child is moi.
Of all the callings that God puts upon our life, I can't think of a more important calling than the call to be a mom, to shape a human life, to have the privilege to disciple your own children. And so today, as we celebrate that great calling, the calling to be a mom, I wanted you to meet some ladies who have been a part of that, who are still a part of shaping the lives of others, and see what we could learn from them this day. Rebecca, I want to ask you and really everybody the question. When it comes to parenting, what do you consider the most challenging aspect of parenting?
Well, currently, for the season of life that I'm in, I think just exhaustion of having three little ones at home. I feel like there's always something I could do. More dishes, more laundry, more toys to pick up. So even when I sit down and rest, my mind is constantly thinking of what's the next thing. What are we having for dinner? What did I not get at the store? And so mentally and physically, I'm just tired all the time.
Sure. Now, what age are your children right now?
My boys are 7 and 4, and I have a little girl that's 7 months.
Wow.
So we have a busy house.
So a real, real busy time.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so just really the time challenge and the energy challenge right now.
Yes, definitely.
Mary, what would you say is the most challenging aspect of parenting for you?
I have to go back to when I started to become a parent, and I think for me it was this gigantic fear and an insecurity, wondering if I would be a good mom at all. I grew up in a home that I didn't want to duplicate, and I just feared that I was going to duplicate that home with my kids. I worried all the time that they wouldn't know if I loved them, if I measured up, or I was enough like Jesus to them. And so my biggest thing was just this giant mountain of fear.
Well, and obviously when you're a parent, it's the first time you've done this, and there really is not a whole lot of training. I mean, you go out to get a driver's license, you actually take lessons for that before you take the test, and you start parenting. That is the test, and you've had no training in that, especially in your case, Barry, where you didn't really have an example of what a good mom and dad looked like.
Yeah, it made for some times of praying a lot and just asking Jesus for help.
Okay. And Mom, tell me, other than parenting me, what was the greatest challenge for you in parenting?
Well, when we were younger, Dale worked for Mobil Oil, and they moved us all over the place. And sometimes we moved 2 and 3 times a year, and we really, really missed the support of having a family. And we just felt like we were out there by ourselves. And when we would get to those little towns, the first place we looked was trying to find a church. And those people in those churches became our families. They invited us to their homes. They helped us when the kids were sick. That's where you were born, in Slidell, Louisiana. And that year, we couldn't go home for Thanksgiving. And the pastor and his wife came to our house one evening to tell us that the church was going to bring all of their Thanksgiving meal to the church, and that we were to be a part of that, and we weren't going to be alone anymore. So that was a huge challenge for us. But those little churches just made all the difference in our lives.
Well, I know when we were having kids, it was real important for us to have you guys close by, and we didn't have that situation. We had family nearby, and that was a real help to us. because you guys could step in and you could provide some of those things. And so now you have the unique situation of being the parent of small children, but also now of being a parent of adult children. So what are some of the challenges related to that?
Well, as you all have grown up and you are adults now, some of you have moved away, and some of the grandchildren have moved away, and those that have remained have busy lives. So one of our biggest challenges is staying connected and having those relationships with our family that we feel that we are necessary.
Yeah. Now, I think all of us, you know, living in a fallen world and being fallen human beings, we all make mistakes. One of the questions that I would ask, if you could go back with wherever you are right now in your parenting and do something different, what would you do? And I'll start with you, Mom, since you have a longer list of, no, not a longer list, but more years that maybe you would want to go back and maybe change something. What would you do differently, knowing what you know now today?
Well, I do have a long list. And we were not perfect parents. We were immature parents. And not a day goes by that I don't think of something that I said, something I didn't say, something I did, something I didn't do. All of those memories sometime go across my mind, and I wished I could relive it. And I think Satan beats us up with those memories sometime. And I think we have two choices. We can carry that guilt around, or we can ask forgiveness from God and move on, just believing that we did the best we could with what we knew at that time.
You wish that you whipped me more,
don't you? I can think of a lot of days that I wish that.
Mary, as you look back at this point in your parenting, are there some things you would do differently knowing what you know today?
I think I would have played more with my kids.
Okay.
It's been a really, I've been an adult for a really long time, even when I was a little kid. And so to play with my children was not intuitive to me. But now I wish I would have gotten more on the floor and interacted with them and laughed more and taken things less seriously. I was always so worried about maintaining a list of being the perfect mom, you know, that I didn't play. I didn't play enough.
That's good. How about you, Rebecca?
Well, it's pretty transparent for me to share this, but I think I yell too much. I think with little ones, you just ask and ask again, and your voice gets louder and louder and louder. And then before I know it, I'm yelling about everything. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with the boys, I'm starting to see that that's how they respond to conflict now, because it's what they've seen in me.
Okay.
So.
That's great. Okay, great, great life lesson there.
That's out
now,
there.
Now, let me ask you, Rebecca, to change a little bit of your roles here, because you not only are a mom, but you also work in our student ministry as ministers to girls, and you've done a super job. We appreciate the ministry that you have there. Now, you see a lot of everybody else's parenting. If you were going to say something to the mothers of the students that you've worked with, and how many years have you been doing this with us?
Well, I've been here almost 12.
Okay, wow. Time flies when you're having a good time.
Yes,
so in those 12 years, what would, if you could just have the ear of those parents and the things that maybe you've seen in the lives of their children, what would you say to them?
I would say, if I could say anything to them, that modeling Christ, I think it's the key, because so many times we try to force feed our students with their faith, and so much of it has to be their own. They really have to struggle with God and work out with the Holy Spirit their own faith. And so I think for parents, if you struggle in front of your kids and you show them God in action, you show them God living through you, then when you fail and you seek forgiveness, or when you mess up and you get back up again, it really shows them how faith is supposed to be lived out, rather than just what they've heard or read in the scriptures. They're seeing it in their parents. Mm-hmm. I think you have to model Christ for your kids and let them really work through it on their own, but get to see your example.
Okay. Now, Mom, I'm going to ask you a question that I've heard people ask you before, and that's the main reason I want to ask it. But you've got three sons who are in vocational ministry. What do you say to people who ask you what you did in raising your boys that made them all want to be involved in Christian ministry?
Well, you know, that's strange that you'd ask that question, because I'm not sure we had that kind of desire that they would be in Christian ministry. When they were growing up, as you know, our lives just sort of circulated around the church. That's where we sort of planted ourselves, was in the church. And we encouraged our boys to be involved in missions and ministry. but we never encouraged them to be a pastor, a missionary, or any kind of full-time Christian worker. That was the choice to be a full-time, in full-time ministry was their decision. And sometimes that decision was painful to us. When our son took his little family and moved halfway around the world, and when another son took two little boys and moved across 1,000 miles from home. And then when a son graduated from college, moved to Dallas to go to seminary, got this great job. It was a great church, a great pastor, and within months quit that job to go out to Lake Ray Hubbard and pastor a little group of people meeting in a bait house. We learned a lot of lessons, and the biggest one was to trust the Holy Spirit in the lives of our children.
You know, one of the things I remember is that when I told my mom that I felt like God was leading me into the vocational ministry, that she said, well, that's great. What you need to know is if you change your mind about that, we're not going to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. That it's great to work in the church, but you can serve God as a Christian businessman. You can serve God changing tires in a garage. You just need to be yourself. And you guys gave us the freedom to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, but also to back up if we had misread what God was telling us. And so that's one of the reasons I wanted you to address that. Now, Mary, you grew up in a home where you didn't have Christian parents. Tell us a little bit about that.
As I mentioned earlier, just a difficult home, divorces, drug abuse, sexual abuse, all sorts of crazy things going on. And so when I started thinking about getting married, and when I got married and I started thinking I want to have children, that fear came over me. And I knew that I wasn't going to go and have drugs with my kids or anything like that. I knew that, but that insecurity that I had about, will I know what to do as a parent? And so that's been a compelling journey, and it's been a journey that has caused me to cry out to Jesus left and right and to get on my knees before him, because I have found that in my own strength, my fallback is to repeat the past. And my fallback is to hear those words come out of my mouth that I swore I would never say, that I sure experienced. So my fallback has to be Jesus instead.
Now, there are a lot of people who are listening today, I'm sure, who have a similar situation as you do. They are first-generation Christians. And that is a tough thing. And I know you've written a book. The title of that book is?
It's Building the Christian Family You Never Had, which is something you don't want to put on your coffee table if your mom's coming to visit you.
Exactly.
That would be really sad. But yes, I wrote that book.
Okay, so for people who've not yet had the privilege of reading that book, and I hope they'll go out and get it, order it online. But what are some of the truths that you set out in there that would be a help to someone who's parenting for the very first time?
I think one is to read parenting books with a caveat, because when I would read them, I would read books by parenting experts who had no one has a perfect family, but had a very stable upbringing. And so I would come to it feeling like I was a complete failure. And there's a little analogy I give of when you're in a neighborhood that has no HOA, so you have some people that have awesome yards and some people that have terrible yards, I have to remember that for me, coming, I might start with an awful yard, and there might be a little bit of that yard that's been weeded and looks really nice, and that's huge growth for me. But if I start comparing myself to parenting experts or other parents, I'm going to get really discouraged, because they're going to look pristine to me, and I'm going to feel like my little patch of earth is not good enough. And then the other thing I think that is probably the most important thing in that book is we really need to take our healing seriously. We need to heal for the sake of our family. And I remember you giving an illustration about a year ago where you talked about healing from pain, and you talked about the beach ball in the ocean and pushing it down. And if we do not heal from the past and the injuries of the past, it's like pushing that ball down, and eventually it pops up in our actions. Mm-hmm. And we yell at our kids, or we do things we regret. And our best gift to our family is a healed heart.
Wow.
Because the best parenting we have comes from the inside out, not decorating ourselves as I'm an awesome mom, but to really work from the inside out.
Wow, great word. I know all three of you have had times in your life where you had responsibilities outside of the home in addition to the responsibility of raising your children. And I think that's a real challenge. What have you found that has been helpful in terms of that balance? Rebecca, you've been working at least part-time at the church for 12 years and sometimes full-time at the church. What have you found helpful in terms of carrying all of that at one time?
Well, the addition of the third child has really created a new dynamic in our
home.
And
so you're resigning today? Is that what you're saying?
Nobody told me that adding the third kid was going to totally upheaval everything. So it's definitely been more difficult just trying to balance both work and home. And I love my kids, but I love my job. And so I feel blessed that I get to do something that I'm passionate about. And so I don't feel like God has asked me to stop that, but I also want to be a good mom. And so for me, currently, I'm trying to be more with my kids when I'm with them. Mm-hmm. Turn the phone off, turn the emails off, turn the texting off, and just be with them and not be distracted by other things that are going on. So I'm either fully at work or I'm fully at home.
Okay.
So that they really get my full attention, because currently their questions come faster than I can answer them. And so if I am distracted, I cannot keep up with all that they are doing. And I want them to see me as being, mommy is here with us, playing with us, being with us, and not distracted by work.
Okay, good. Now, Mom, I know when we were growing up, you had times when you were working outside of the home as well. What did you find helpful in terms of managing that?
Well, I'll just have to say that my husband made all that possible. He just really pitched in and took the load off of me at home. Throwing in a load of clothes in the washer, running the sweeper. He's the one that would stay awake at night past curfew and make sure everybody got home safely. Little things like taking his white shirts to the laundry. I know that doesn't sound like very much, but it meant a lot to me. And I really couldn't have done it without him. I could not have worked. And I had a job, like Rebecca said. I had a job that I loved. It was with the Women's Missionary Union, the Baptist General Convention of Texas, something that I had a heart for. And he just really made all of that possible for me. And he still does it. He does those things still at home. And I think it might have been genetic, because I sort of see that in my boys. They do some of those same things.
See, now, you came to church on Mother's Day thinking we were going to beat up on the moms, and we've actually just beat up on the guys here, okay?
Well, if I was going to say you want to give your wife a gift, give her some time off. Give her some time out.
That's good. Mary, how about you?
My friend Leslie, who speaks about parenting all the time, says that our job as moms is to work ourselves out of a job. And so I do have a full-time job, and it's actually in my home. I'm writing all the time. And so I've also trained my kids, who are now teenagers and beyond, to do their own laundry, to make dinner, to have life skills, so that when they leave the home, they're not going to be lost. Plus, then that helps me with my load, and then we become kind of a family working together toward this goal of managing the home, so then it doesn't all fall on my shoulders.
And don't you see moms sometimes who become martyrs at this point? Mm-hmm. They think, I've got to rescue my entire family, I've got to serve my whole family. And I think there's a mothering instinct that would cause you to do that, and it's really counterintuitive sometimes to say, I'm not going to do everything, mm-hmm. and I'm going to invite you guys to be a part of the team. But it's important not only for your sanity, but also for the maturing of your children. So that's a very good word. Mm-hmm. I know that one of the ways that God helps all of us do what he's called us to do is that he allows other people to speak into our lives. So has there been a book or maybe a personal friend who gave counsel or an event in your life that has helped you, given you insight for your parenting? Mom, can you share one of those with us?
Well, you know, when we were in the parenting business, there were not many books on parenting. Mm-hmm. They just were not out there. We didn't hear very much about it in church. But I read a book by Mrs. Billy Graham that really changed my outlook on parenting. And just helped me so much. And I'd just like to tell you a little bit about what she wrote. She said that if your children grow up to love and serve God, consider it a miracle. Mm-hmm. You can do many things, so do all you can and leave the miracles up to God. Mm-hmm. She went on to write that that miracle is the same miracle that happens in our lives when we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins and to take control of our lives. And then she went on to write a long list of things that we can do, keeping our kids in church, family worship, helping them to assess their gifts and the thrill of using those gifts. And on and on and on she went about the things that we can do. And they were very convicting to me.
But it's great to know that it all doesn't depend upon our effort.
Right. At the end of that article, she said, if your children do grow up and serve God, and you've done all that you can, don't take all the credit. And she said, if you do all you can and your children do not grow up and serve God, don't take all the blame.
Oh, wow.
It's their decision.
That's good. Mary, insights that you've received along the way from others.
I was kind of a stalker, and so I would read all those parenting books because I was so worried, and then I would watch other moms because I just didn't really know. And so even at the grocery store, I would see a mom be patient with a child, and I would just take note of it and put it in my mind and think, okay, next time I'm going to try to be more patient. But I think the best thing that happened to me when my kids were little bitty is I had a friend named Kathy who was older than me, and she just started walking with me in my neighborhood and loving me and mentoring me and telling me what a good mom is. And she would answer all my questions and pray for me. And just having that physical person in my life modeling great motherhood and even really remothering me so that I understood what affirmation was, what coming alongside your kids meant, what sacrificing for them meant. So that just having that person, that mentor, was really good for me.
Rebecca?
I would agree. I would say it's that community of moms. Mm-hmm. Over the past 7 months of adding baby number three, God has just put women in my life that hug me in the hallway, that ask me how I'm doing. And when I say fine, they say, how are you really doing? Because they know that's not a true answer. It's that feeling that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. Because as a mom, I think when you beat yourself up at home because you don't feel like you're good enough, it's a lonely place. And you need somebody out there that's hugging you and loving you and lifting you up and saying, let's go again. Let's give it a shot tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Here's what I did wrong. Try this next time. It's that community of moms that just envelops you and helps you be better.
Well, isn't that one of the great things about the church? Because in the church, you find that community. You have mm-hmm. folks who are struggling with the same things that you're struggling with, the people who have the same belief system, who are shooting for the same thing, which is to live a God-glorifying life and to love your kids like God has loved you and to pass your faith on to your kids. And that's why it's so important that we not just come to church and sit in a large room, but that we get in those smaller groups, whether it's a mom's group, Moms in Touch, or whether it's a Bible study group, or whether it's a life group, or whatever it is, to be with folks who are struggling with the same things that we struggle with and people who are further along the path than we are.
Steve, I think one of the places where my heart really goes out is to single moms who are doing it alone.
Yeah.
And in the nursery, we see that. I'm in the nursery, and I see that, you know. And I think it behooves us to take note and to do what we can to lighten those loads.
Well, and you were talking about how Dad stepped in and helped you with so many things, and they don't have a Dale
right
in their life right now. And we can be that person and to take note of that and be someone like who befriended Mary and to reach out. And it's real important that we get our antennas up and that we're aware of those folks, and we let the Holy Spirit lead us to maybe fill in some of those gaps. That's part of what it means to be the body of Christ. Now, obviously, as believers, one of the great resources you have is Scripture. What in the Bible has been helpful to you in terms of God speaking into your motherhood from the Word of God? Rebecca, how about you?
God has really been doing a work in me lately, and I feel like my goal right now is to preach the gospel to myself every day. Mm-hmm. That the grace that saved me is the grace that makes me a good mom. And so when I have my to-do list during the day that I feel like I haven't met, or I lay my head on the pillow and I feel like I failed 100 times, that God reminds me it's His grace. It's a gift. It's not that I did good works. It's not that I earned it. It's a gift from Him. And so 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given us all we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and His goodness. And so relying on the Holy Spirit to really be the mom through me instead of trying to outwardly be that perfect mother that I know I can't be.
Mary, what about you?
Well, it's kind of an obscure verse, but in Jeremiah 2:13, God says, "You have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have dug for yourselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." And for me, that's just the epitome of what I want to do as a Christian. I want to run to the fountain of living waters. Jesus is that living water, and he's what gives me the strength I need to love my teenage kids now. But I think a lot of us, we dig holes. We don't want Jesus to fill us up. We just want to say we're in control. We want to take care of this parenting thing ourselves. We're going to dig a hole. And the problem with that hole is it's a cistern. It's stagnant water, and it's got holes in it, and it will never fill. So I am happiest as a mom when I am most satisfied in Jesus and when he is that fountain of living waters to me.
Well, and isn't it true, what was it saying, John, that when we're filled with his living water, that it flows through us.
Right.
And we become a conduit for it rather than the source of that water. That Jeremiah scripture's one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible. Mom, how about you? What has been encouragement to you out of God's word?
Well, on our wall framed is Proverbs 3:5-6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." And early on, we discovered that there was no way we could do very much right without his guidance. And I think that's true in all aspects of our lives, not just parenting, but with all the relationships that we have. And I think it's only when we seek his guidance that we can be successful in any relationship that we have, and particularly in parenting.
Yeah. Thank you all so very much for sharing with others. I know it's an encouragement to them today. And Mom, happy Mother's Day. I know that you only did this as a favorite to me, so thank you. Love you.
I'm glad Pastor Steve didn't kiss us.
I know.
That would have been awkward.
Didn't they do a great job? Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful gift that you have given us called family. Thank you for the opportunities that it provides for us to influence others. And I thank you, dear Father, for this family of faith that can become a family for those who are all by themselves and maybe don't have someone in their home right now. For you, dear Father, to be the perfect Heavenly Father. Thank you for the reminder today that all of us need you to live and do life. Thank you for the reminder that we need your scripture to speak into us as well as other people. And for the reminder that all of us, not just moms, but all of us have the opportunity to encourage and influence and shape the lives of others. Help us, dear Father, to be sensitive this week as we're going about our business, as we're doing the chores that we have to do, to notice the people around us, people that you created, that you love, and help us to love them on your behalf. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.